The good and bad of this year's political advertising. By now, you've probably seen more of them than you care to remember. They march across your television screens, blare from your radios, and pop up on your computers. But just what goes into making an effective political ad? And is there really a strategy behind their aesthetics and their placement? I'm Erwin Gratz, and today two veterans of the ad business join me to talk about what works and what doesn't when it comes to campaign ads. With me in the studio, Lori Banks. She's the president of Perry & Banks Integrated Sales and Marketing. And Sam Surprise of Surprise Advertising. Both have produced plenty of ads, but neither is working on this year's campaign. They'll share their rating of some of this year's crop of political ads. You can take part in our conversation. Email talk@mpbn.net, follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or call 1-800-399-3566. A closer look at political ads just before they go away for at least a little while. This is Maine calling.
Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listener support and by the law offices of Joe Bornstein, a statewide practice representing injured and disabled Mainers since 1974, joebornstein.com, and by Darling's Audi in Bangor, thanking blind curves and sudden swerves, challenging Audi to make the Quattro, an all-wheel drive system that handles most roads, darlingsaudi.com.
And welcome back to Maine Calling. Erwin Gratz here this afternoon along with Sam Surprise and Lori Banks. Sam and Lori, I was thinking this morning about perhaps saying by now, probably we're seeing some of these ads in our dreams. We've seen so many of them.
That would be a nightmare.
Yeah, that's right. Let me ask you this to get our conversation going. Have either of you seen anything unusual in this year's advertising, or are we seeing kind of the same old methods, procedures used?
I haven't seen anything shocking, anything really risky or that stands out. I think everybody's totally trying to just get by and not make any major faux pas.
On the other hand, you know, there are those ads that are coming in from out of state. Their job is to plant the seed of doubt.
Right. Those are probably the more interesting because they do take a straight-on attack on particular issues and stuff. They can say things that the candidate can't say without looking bad.
Right.
Interesting. So has there been a particular example of a good, effective ad that either of you have seen so far this campaign season?
Well, should we talk about the kitchen cabinet sure. ad? That one was certainly very effective.
Yeah, which they've pulled, I think, since. But
Explain.
Go ahead. You're talking about the two old ladies?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sitting across, you know, probably a Formica table from the 1950s.
It was an anti-Michoud ad.
Right.
Okay. For Mike Michoud, who's running for Congress in the 2nd District.
Yeah.
And the conversation was just really a series of questions and typical Maine responses.
With a little funny music in the background, planting a doubt and making it seem kind of comical that Michoud should be so presumptuous to actually represent us as a responsible person. I mean, it really wasn't anchored in any particular issue. It was just planting a general doubt about he's not one of us.
Right. It was, you know, people often say, you know, well, they said and they did this. And
right.
My following question is, well, who was they? And that to me was the nut, the seed of the middle of that commercial, the they.
All right. So that's one of the ads that's been on against Mike Michoud. Let's listen to one that he's had on the air recently for himself.
Everything for their uniform must come from America. Everything except their sneakers. A Washington loophole lets those come from anywhere. Mike Michoud's fought to get rid of this loophole and other unfair trade policies because they destroy jobs and hurt working families.
Maine has New Balance shoe factories in Norwalk, Skowhegan, and Norway. The shoes for our military should come from America and be made in Maine. I'm Mike Michoud, and I approve this message.
I love this ad. I think it's a great ad. He's taken a strong stance, positive stance about jobs here in Maine, in towns that people are going to vote. I mean, that's a very smart ad. And the animated soldier with the that's in kind of a dull green, and then the red shoes was a nice effect. You got it.
Yeah, great use of color, graphics, deeply touched a nerve.
Yep.
Probably in most Americans.
And who's going to know that? I mean, I didn't know that, what, 95% of the materials on a soldier has to be made in America. For some reason, shoes wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
And that's a big industry for us here. So I thought it was a great ad. Smart. It doesn't attack any of his opponents.
Right.
It just goes straight to, here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I already did. Here's what I'm going to continue to.
All right. Speaking of his opponent, Kevin Ray, the Republican, this is interesting. One of the things one of the ads that he's dropped into his race late is a personal endorsement. Let's listen to this.
I'm Olympia Snow. It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve the people of Maine. For 17 years, Kevin Ray worked at my side. Now he's a small businessman and president of the Maine Senate. In Augusta, Kevin reduced his own budget and brought Republicans and Democrats together to solve problems. I trust Kevin Ray. He's exactly what we need in Washington.
I'm Kevin Ray, and I approve this message because Olympia's support means the world to me, and I would appreciate your vote.
All right, so traditionally, how much would an endorsement ad like that move the needle for a candidate?
Well, there's no benchmark for Olympia Snow's value. I mean, she is by far the single strongest endorsement you could get in the state of Maine. I can't think of anybody.
George Mitchell.
Yeah, yes. George Mitchell would be the only other person. I mean, that kind of clout, but George isn't a woman. Olympia's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a double plus. Yeah. I'm pretty quick.
Yeah, I see that. The trust. Olympia said that she trusted Kevin Ray. How much better could you get?
I mean, if he's got a chance to pull this off, that's the mother load right there.
Yeah.
And he says, it means the world to me. I mean, what a great line. I love the way he says it. Just the power's all there.
I mean, I suppose the problem with it may be, and this is something we can talk about a little bit more generally. I mean, you have Kevin running against a multi-term incumbent in a Mike Michaud. It seems to me that the one thing that's missing from an ad like this is the reason to fire the incumbent.
Well, that's a good point.
Michaud's pretty bulletproof, I mean, at least on the surface. So I don't know how he would do it. I mean, I think he's doing the smart move because it's pretty hard to go up against Michaud. Michaud's been a strong representative in the state. I mean, he's well known. No missteps.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he's solid. Kevin's got an uphill battle, but he's doing a good job, really. Pulling Olympian is everything.
Right. So, first horse out of the gate, perhaps there'll be more.
He's
built a great platform.
It'd be nice if he could continue. If he could show a new endorsement every day, he might.
All right. If you'd like to join our conversation, here's how you can do that. You can give us a call, of course, 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. You can email us, talk@mpbn.net, or just post something to our Facebook page. We are monitoring that. You can also get on Twitter if you like and just tweet @MaineCalling. Any of those will reach us, and we'll see what we can do to talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about the Senate race. That's the other one that's big in this state this year. We have Democrat Cynthia Dill, a Republican Charlie Summers, four independents, including Angus King, the former governor, and then the three other candidates, see if I get them all here, Danny Dalton and Andrew Ian Dodge and Steve Woods. I'm curious as to what kind of strategy do you bring to an advertising campaign when, say, you're the independent like King in this race?
What kind of strategy?
I mean, is it different if you're an independent in this day and age, or is it the same?
Well, you want to win the election.
Yeah.
So I would think that you would use some of the same strategies and try to avoid any issues where you might be seen as being a total Republican or a total Democrat. Mm. Maine, we love our independents.
Yeah.
I mean, for Angus, the issue is, you know, not to make any missteps. If there's any rabbit in the hat right now that somebody doesn't know about and nobody's dug it up, now's the time to pull it out if you've got it against him. Something that he did that he hasn't talked about or something that is a weakness, I don't think it's out there Or somebody would have brought it up already.
But there have been some attacks against King, and let's listen to some of them.
Angus King left Maine with the nation's highest tax burden. Now he wants to raise taxes on small business. Democrat Cynthia Dill, she supports Obama's plan to raise taxes.
I'm Charlie Summers. Maine families and businesses are struggling in this tough economy. But some people think we should raise taxes. That's the worst thing we could do. We need to cut wasteful spending, reduce our debt, and stop raising taxes. This is a key difference in this race, and it's why I've approved this message.
Okay, so that's an ad from the Summers campaign about that one. I mean, there have also been all of these ads from some of the outside groups,
right,
talked about King Angus, talked about the fact that he may have left
yeah.
budget deficits behind for his successor, that sort of thing. But none of that seems to have had a big effect, at least not so far.
Well, taxes are such a complicated issue
right.
that the fact of the matter is everybody can be right, no matter what you say about taxes.
The only thing they got to say is, I'm not going to raise them.
There you go.
I mean, and that's what they say. We're seeing it nationally. We're seeing it locally. I mean, how much truth is in it and how much it's going to guide anybody is ridiculous. But, you know, they're all saying the same thing. No more taxes, you know, which is – look over here because while this hands, well, don't
pay
look
no
at this hand.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
That's right, exactly.
Interesting, and then you have the Democrat in this race, Cynthia Dill, who has been lagging in the polls, but almost more to the point, we had this interesting ad that came in from an outside group that actually boosted her candidacy in an effort to hurt Angus. And as a result, help Charlie Summers. I mean, sometimes the machinations behind some of this can be pretty wild.
Oh, my God. It's blurred. It's muddied the waters like never before. I mean, it's always gone on, but never as blatantly as it has now. This is the first time we've had an election that's been so blatant that they're trying to divide the vote. I don't know. I mean,
they're playing out their strategy on air.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I mean, it's the puppet masters. Behind the scene that are saying, all right, let's put $300,000 into this push, see what happens.
Yeah. Is there a lot of evidence that that works ultimately? Or
it's never been done like this before, not to this level. I mean, we'll know at the end of this. I haven't seen any dramatic moves in points for any candidate one way or the other. I mean, Angus has lost a little. I don't know if Charlie's gained a little.
From my perspective, what I see, the potential could be for ad fatigue. Certainly. You know, you watch the local news, and then there's a pro-Angus King, then there's an anti-Angus King, then there's a pro-Charlie, and then there's an anti-Kevin Ray. Who can keep it all straight? Is somebody sitting there with a little scores card that said, oh, well, that's a check in this corner here? It's also subliminal that... who can keep track?
Well, at the risk of a little more ad fatigue, I want to play one more before we go to the break. This is Angus King and kind of answering some of those charges against him. Let's hear number two.
His is a unique life. Active citizen. Governor. Businessman. Neighbor. Husband and father. Teacher. The laptops, the ice storm, the economic growth. A respected, likable leader. He listens to people, and they listen to him.
I'm Angus King, and I approve this message.
Angus King. They still make them like they used to.
Okie dokie.
I don't know.
Why is that so amusing to you?
Hey, it's just, you know, he was doing great. He had all the bullet points, you know, everything that I was going to remember. And then they still make them like they do. Did they really need that? To me, that was the question mark.
It is. It's
it was just a little.
You know, when we write an ad, Lori, in our business, you know, and you're writing the copy for it and you go, and something's bothering in the back. It's not quite right. And you let it go, and you think nobody will notice it, and then the client comes back or somebody says, I don't understand this part. And you say, well, you're just stupid. You know, right? I mean, you think that because it is absolutely spot on. I don't like that at the end. I think it bothers me for some reason. And I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It just does. I think you're right. He could. Somebody once said, why say ba-ba when ba will do? He should have said ba. Okay.
Let's see what you think. If you've got a moment, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. Email us at talk@mpbn.net. Tweet us at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Our guests today are Lori Banks and Sam Surprise. We'll take a quick break. Excuse me. And when we come back, some of your questions and comments. This is Maine Calling.
Six candidates are vying for Maine's open U.S. Senate seat, and all six will participate in MPBN's Your Vote 2012 debate at the Gracie Theater in Bangor this Thursday evening. If you'd like to submit a question for the candidates, do so at mpbn.net/yourvote. If you'd like to attend, doors open at 7. Seating is first come, first served. We'd love to see you there.
You can also join us live tonight at 8 on member-supported MPBN Radio and MPBN Television. You can also tune in for debates tomorrow afternoon at 1 here on MPBN Radio and tomorrow night at 9 on MPBN Television.
On the next Fresh Air, Tom Ricks, author of the bestseller Fiasco about the invasion of Iraq, discusses his new book, The Generals, about what happens when mediocre generals aren't relieved of their command. He says in World War II, generals were held accountable for their lack of success, but that started to change with the Korean War. Join us.
Tune in for Fresh Air tonight at 7 o'clock. Broadcast of Maine Calling is made possible by MPBN listeners like you and by the Fairpoint Communications business team, with local representatives who live and work right in your community. 877-601-7787.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Erwin Gratz, sitting in today for Keith Shortall. We're talking about campaign advertising. Have you seen any? Or maybe I should rephrase the question. Is there anybody out there who has managed to avoid them this campaign season? That would be the real trick. Anyway, with me in the studio today, Lori Banks, president of Perry & Banks Integrated Sales and Marketing, and Sam Surprise of Surprise Advertising. You can join our conversation by calling us at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. I want to talk a little bit about the advertising campaign that has been conducted on behalf of the same-sex marriage referendum. This is the pro-same-sex marriage side. It's been a whole series of kind of testimonial ads. Let's listen to one of them.
I'm a normal kid. I went to high school, played sports, got pretty good grades, National Honor Society. Being on so many different athletic teams took a lot of commitment, and my moms definitely were always there. When I do meet a girl and fall in love and settle down and get married, I want the relationship between me and my wife to be the same as it is between my moms. I just hope that my moms and all other committed couples get the chance to stand up and be married.
As I said, Sam, one of a series of these kinds of advertisements. What do you think?
I love this ad. I mean, he says moms. He says it quietly, and then it gradually builds, and they make it a little clearer each time. And it's a very thoughtful ad, very touching, very powerful. I mean, he's the son. He's talking about getting married, talking about falling in love, and showing all the respect that goes to a parent. And in his case, his parents are two women, which is just a very strong, touching, powerful message.
I agree. The messages for the campaign have been spot on. They've talked about they've leveled the playing field. They're people like us. And their message that love conquers all is very powerful and strikes an emotional chord in most people.
Yeah, the very first one in this series that aired all the way back last summer, Sam, you've mentioned, is one of your favorites.
I love that. It shows the senior couple, and they're sitting around a main kitchen, a big round table, and they have all these kids
like
there.
10 or 12.
10
people.
Or 12 kids, and they go, and they start talking, and they look like you want your parents when they're seniors to look like. So a lot of those kids, and the point comes out that they want their daughter, who happens to be gay, mm-hmm. to be able to have the same love and enjoyment with their family that they've had. And they want it legally, and they think it's wonderful. And it's a really strong, strong ad. Very powerful.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the aesthetics. It's something we've talked about from time to time when we've discussed ads on Morning Edition, but the importance of how an ad is made, whether it uses videotape, whether it uses film, music, graphics, what kinds of considerations go into deciding on those aesthetic questions, completely apart from the message?
I mean, they're all critical. You think anybody who doesn't use music tried to use it, and they said this ad's so strong without it that it makes its point even better, right?
It's an all-round emotional, visceral, visual appeal. And, you know, just like your soundboard here, you move the dials up and down depending upon the effect that you want it to have. It can be soft and soothing. It can be grating and annoying. But if you understand behavioral psychology, you understand what the result will be coming out at the other end.
And it can build, you know, we pick our timing in our music so that it hits strong strings at a certain point when somebody says something. Mm-hmm. We're listening to the dialogue first, and then we're adding the music and trying to get it to hit right. So the really good ones build at a certain point. They build a crescendo, and they deliver, and the candidate then comes in over the top and says, I'm the best since sliced bread, you know?
Let's take a listen now to one of the ads from the anti-same-sex marriage side, in part because, and this will be a little hard for us to do on radio, because these ads have a very different look, but I think you'll even be able to hear it.
If question one passes redefining marriage, we can expect consequences for Mainers.
I was a successful school counselor in Maine for over 20 years, once nominated as Teacher of the Year. Yet, when I supported traditional marriage, they tried to get me fired. They went after my state license, claiming that supporting marriage is between one man and one woman is discriminatory.
When gay marriage has become law elsewhere, people who disagree with it have been fired, sued, fined, and punished. Don't redefine marriage. Vote no on question one.
Okay,
listen,
so we have
to that music.
Right. Very different kind of music.
Cautious, tenuous music. Dun, 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 dun. You know, you're being pushed out on the plank.
The other thing that you have in here that you didn't have in the last ad, you have a narrator.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then the actual interview steps in. They have two ads out there that are very strong like this. This one and the innkeeper one, where the couple are looking straight at the camera. They look like not Mom, Pa, Kettle, but they look like the famous farm painting. And they're going, we were sued because we wouldn't have a wedding in our inn. And it cost us $30,000 because we didn't want to have two, you know, gay people be married in our inn. I mean, it's very powerful, very strong.
Peer-to-peer testimonials are the most powerful messaging.
You know, yeah.
Pretty much people will say, well, I don't listen to ads. You know, my best friend told me to buy this.
Yeah, and these ads were, both the testimonials are very authentic. You know, they're talking, they don't look, I bet they didn't put makeup on them for a reason because they wanted them to look very authentic. And that's, you know, you make people look when you want the believability to look like the rest of us, which is a little grainy, a little gray, a pimple here and there.
Yep. And wow, that could be me.
It could be me.
If you'd like to join our conversation, the phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can also email us, talk@mppn.net, post to our Facebook page, or tweet us at Maine Calling. Let's go ahead to the phones. This is Chris up in Camden. Chris, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling. Hang on a second. Sorry. There we go. Chris, sorry about that. Go ahead. Start again.
Okay. I'm wondering, we're going through a lot of the same message approaches that we saw 2 years ago and 4 years ago between a Democrat who's attacking an independent, between the opponents of marriage equality, trying to scare everybody into things happening. Seems like we saw a lot of the same ads last time around. Do we learn anything? Do we change strategies? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that they've learned that if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all still, as technicians, we try to promote your candidate's strengths. You try to promote
your
opponent's weaknesses. And, I mean, there's no new game there. Mm-hmm. It's just who's doing the best job of it. I don't know how to avoid that. I mean, it's just part and parcel for how you present your whichever side you're on.
Sure, it's compare and contrast.
Right.
What about the difference between presenting a positive ad or going negative?
Well, nobody wants to say negative anymore. We call those issue ads.
Yes, I know.
But they are negative ads. I mean, negative ads work.
Sure, they do.
Bottom line, people say they hate them. Yeah, well, we all watch them too. And it does get the weaknesses out there of the opponent. So whether – now, truth-telling has been great, and that's something that the paper is doing this time, and a lot of different organizations are doing it, and it is important.
Fact-checkers.
Right. As a consumer, I would check facts like never before.
But again, a negative ad plants a seed of doubt.
Okay, so let me ask you, this is a question we got emailed from Greg, who mentions that ads from both parties often contain what he calls astonishingly blatant falsehoods, things that are not true. So his question is, for you as advertising executives, do you fact check? Does it matter to you whether the information that's going to be in the ad is accurate?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
There's no way that I would want to be party of putting anything out there that was not 100% true and checkable.
From our side of it, as a technician, I mean, we get our facts from the campaign. I always ask them, is this true? Okay, this is a gray area. Okay, good. How far can I go? You know, before I put this into the ad, do I put a chyron up that says, you know, John Doe left office with $1 billion deficit, you know?
Yeah. The chyron, we should say, is just kind of superimposed. Kind of title on the screen, yeah.
Yeah, so absolutely. You ask, as technicians, we don't always know. We rely on the campaign to tell us whether it's true or not.
All right. Let's go to Mike in Brewer. Mike, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling.
Hey, good afternoon. Love your show.
Thank you.
Well, I just have a concern with two of those no on one ads you were talking about, and actually has to do with fact checking, which is something I've been using the internet a lot for this election. And well, specifically the one about the man who were claiming he got fired, or people are going to get fired. I mean, there was some stink brought up, but the law works, and he was protected, and he wasn't fired for his statements on the 2009 question of, on the same issue. And as far as the couple that own the inn, they it wasn't a marriage law that made it so they couldn't discriminate against a gay or lesbian couple. It's an anti-discrimination law that's been in place much longer, and we have a similar law here in Maine. And so I think the no on one ads have definitely stretched the truth a little, and I just think Yes on One is probably the only campaign here in the state and maybe even the whole country that has nothing but positive things to say.
Well, the ads, the no on question one ads, I think you have a good point, because it's more about what they didn't say than what they did say, what they left out. If the man said, and I was fired, what he didn't say was, and I was fired for it.
Right. Yeah. 1-800-399-3566, our phone number, if you'd like to call, or you can email us, talk@mpbn.net. We're talking about campaign advertising today. Let's go to Abby in Brunswick. Abby, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thanks. I just wanted to let you know that I am one of those strange people who has never watched TV in recent history, and I only listen to public radio. So I have not heard a campaign ad until yesterday when I went to take my husband to the eye doctor, and there was a TV in the room. And I was really kind of appalled.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
It's been a bit appalling. It's important to lot of people.
But it's important, too, is it not, to say, I mean, you know, regardless of what folks may think about what they see, these are all still advertising techniques that still work for politicians.
Absolutely.
And issues.
Yes, they do.
I mean,
yeah,
if they
didn't
work, they'd move on to the next thing.
Yeah, and the reason that the most money spent out there is on TV is because it is watched.
The one, you know, a few ads on this program today, and I was very impressed with one of them. So,
which one? Just out of curiosity.
It was Angus King.
Yeah.
Maybe because I like him. I think he's done well for our country. But
does he live next door to you in Brunswick? I'm just kidding.
Actually, I know him vaguely. My partner knew him well. So.
That's okay. I'm just teasing.
All right. Abby, thanks very much for your call. We appreciate it. We're going to take another quick break. And when we return, more of your comments and questions. Please stay with us.
Tonight, MPBN will host and broadcast a live Your Vote 2012 debate among the candidates for Maine's Senate seat. The debate is being held in Gracie Theater on the campus of Husson University in Bangor. The debate is open to the public with plenty of seats still available. If you'd like more information, please call 207-941-7888 or you can visit our website, mpbn.net. Again, MPBN's Your Vote 2012 Senate debate is this evening in Bangor at Gracie Theater at Husson University in Bangor. We do ask that the audience be seated no later than 7:45. You can also tune in to watch the debate tonight at 8 on both MPBN Radio and MPBN Television.
What began with a simple statement,
"I made the decision not to run for re-election in the United States Senate,"
will end next month when Mainers elect a new United States Senator for the first time in 16 years. I'm Erwin Gratz of MPBN's Morning Edition. Join me for the latest on the Senate race, the two congressional races, and the same-sex marriage campaign on Morning Edition, weekday mornings, 6 to 9, here on MPBN Radio. Welcome back to Maine Calling. I'm Erwin Gratz in today for Keith Shortall. And today we're talking about political advertising with Laurie Banks, president of Perry & Banks Integrated Sales and Marketing, and Sam Surprise of Surprise Advertising. You can join our conversation here by calling us at 1-800-399-3566. You can email us, talk@mpbn.net, post to our Facebook page, or tweet us at Maine Calling. Okay. Let's go right back to the phones. This is Becky in Prospect Harbor. Becky, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling.
Hello. First, I'd like to say how much I love the Maine Calling program. It's a great addition to the programming. I want to second the gentleman that said that marriage equality has had the most positive, probably, in the nation, the ads. And one that just came out recently, and I don't watch much TV, but I happened to see it twice, and it took what used to be a target at them and took it, it's almost like deflecting a punch or going with it. They took the idea that the schools are going to teach about, you know, gay marriage and everything, and they took that and they said, there's no place that can ever do a better job of teaching values than in the home. And they said, we agree, the home is where values are taught. So they took that attack and turned it around and made it a positive of, like, we agree with you, values come from the home. And I thought it was very brilliant. I've only seen it twice, and I thought they did a great job with that.
I agree with you. I saw it recently. I just saw it this morning, and I thought it was spot on.
It's been a very sophisticated campaign.
Yeah.
Very well done. Nice messaging, nice focus.
I think that in that case, that ad too might have had, was that the one, or is there another one with a teacher? And she's actually talking about, a woman teacher talking about how important, I think it was a teacher in that ad actually. And I think of it, and she's talking about values, and she said, the values should come from home. And it's a great flip.
Yeah, it was, because that was what was being, they were being attacked for the last time, and they took a positive and made it a positive. And it's just brilliant. And they've been working at it for years now, to just go out and talk to people and, you know, say, hey, you know, they've done a brilliant job. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. It probably hasn't hurt either that they've been through this campaign several times, most recently just 3 years ago. And I guess, you know, that gives you an opportunity to learn from previous campaigns. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling. Oops. All right. No, I guess we lost him. He was on the road, so he may have dropped the call. Let me ask both of you, in the presidential race this year, have you seen any advertising that you particularly liked or didn't like?
There are just so many. I can't even think, I mean, it changes from one day to the next in terms of, well, you mentioned something earlier, Sam, about you not having seen an ad where Mitt Romney actually spoke.
Yeah, I did. And then, of course, this morning I saw one where he's talking direct to the camera.
Right.
But up to that point, he's been, I thought, noticeably absent from speaking in his ads. Other, you might hear a voice recorded, but you don't see him talking straight to the camera. And I got to think, as a strategist, that was because of his faux pas when he got caught talking to the room about the 47% and somebody taped it, where he really was talking, not to the camera, but we saw him. And I think they must have said, we got to keep him out of direct contact for some reason. Or some reason they pulled that and pulled him out of it. Maybe they didn't feel he was connecting well mm-hmm. enough when he's talking straight into the camera. Now, the ad that I saw this morning was pretty good. He was limited. It showed he and his wife walking, talking about the different things in his life and his career and stuff like that. But it's new, and he was absent for a long time. Whereas Obama's a charismatic. I mean, he gets in front of the camera and can talk.
All right. We got Daniel back, we think. Daniel, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thank you.
Hey.
My question is about all the campaign signs on the side of the road. I'm another person who doesn't have TV, and when I'm listening to even NPR and they're going to start talking about the election, I run to it and turn it off quickly. and I'm incredibly annoyed that I can't even drive to the market without being bombarded with all that. So my question is, or statement, I've been running the signs over pretty religiously. I got about a 10-mile area around my house cleaned up. And my question is about the legality of that. Am I not expressing my First Amendment rights as anybody else?
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm not an attorney.
I'm not a lawyer. Thank God.
All I can say is it's a free country.
Yeah, it is.
And if they want to be able to put their signs up, that's fine. I think it's an interesting tack that you have to take them down.
I will say that there was some research recently that said that for campaigns that don't have a lot of money, it's the one area they can compete on an even playing field.
Because
there are those
name
signs
awareness.
That you don't like. And I know they are annoying. I agree with you. But they are also very functioning and very strong mechanism for a candidate without much money. And many candidates without much money could be great people in their positions that they're going for.
You know what I've also heard about them sometimes, too, especially for statewide campaigns? They can sometimes be a measure of organization. If you don't
yes.
see them, it kind of makes you wonder, wow, what's
Do they really
wrong?
Have any support?
Yeah.
But so. For the poor person, and it also comes down to the name. If you've got a difficult-to-pronounce name, you can lose on the sign deal.
There is strategy.
But if you
that.
Have a really strong name, I mean, King, you see King and Angus's, and they're green. I mean, he's independent, and he's got King. Everybody
right.
knows what's going on.
Although I will say that you might have let Sandy do a lot of your job recently.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's the first good argument I've heard against them doing, and I can completely respect that. I've been doing it bipartisan, and I've been leaving everything in people's yards directly. But what you just said actually makes a lot of sense to me. So thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
All right, Daniel, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it. One other thing about signs. It was Gail Collins writing in the New York Times today, was writing about some campaign, not here, where somebody was worried about putting up signs, so they decided instead to put the sign up in the tree so it wouldn't be stolen. And sure enough, the next morning, somebody had climbed up the tree and draped a towel over the sign. So, there you go.
There's no accounting for American ingenuity.
Yes, there is.
If you'd like to get in on our conversation here in the last couple of minutes, the phone number 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566, or a quick email to talk@mpbn.net or even a tweet at Maine Calling. All right, let's talk to John in Whitefield. John, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Mentioning that last caller, there was a item in the paper not long ago about removal of signs, and apparently there is a state law against removing signs that are put on public property within the right-of-way of the road and so on.
Right.
A pretty sizable fine for removing them.
Yeah, and you also have to, after the campaign, you have to have them down with taken away, or your campaign gets fined within X amount of days.
Right.
So thank God they do have to clean them up.
My question has to do with the sense of obligation that advertising people might or might not feel about supporting a candidate. I know from Vance Packard's book back in the 60s, The Hidden Persuaders, and you've talked about emotional appeal and so on, that advertising is not necessarily simply informative, but it is a whole science about how to convince people. And I wondered if as professional advertisers, if you feel any obligation to support a candidate that you feel is worthy. For example, if a candidate you were supporting said something inappropriate to one of your workers, would you continue to support him?
And in fact, to answer your question, no, I wouldn't want to support him. I also have walked away from a couple campaigns that approached me years ago because I didn't believe with what their philosophy. It doesn't mean, though, that I'm wouldn't go to either side. I am a hired gun, and I am hired to do the job. But if I thought somebody wasn't morally where I wanted to be, or it was too far out of my comfort zone, I wouldn't do it because I couldn't do a good job.
Well, we make that decision every day.
We do.
With every client.
And with every client.
Can we do a good job? Are they believable? Do they really have something to say or sell?
Right.
A tweet in from Twitter: is there such a thing as any publicity as good publicity when it comes to political ads?
Well, yeah. That's a good question. Sometimes yes and sometimes no.
I wouldn't want my name on the Kennebunkport list right now if I was running for office.
I think we mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that would be a bad publicity move right now.
Depends on if you're P.T. Barnum or somebody else.
Okay. Everything's got a degree.
All right. A quick email message. Has anyone ever been sued for lying in an advertisement?
Oh, in the world? Absolutely. In a political campaign? I'm not really sure.
I don't think for political. I think you can...
don't you have to prove that it was...
Campaigns constantly go to the networks and say, well, you know, see, an opposing campaign will say, I think that this is wrong and it's incorrect and you need to take it off the air. And the station is obligated to take it off. Yeah. But nobody's been sued that I know of.
All right. Back to the phones. Elaine in Surrey, good afternoon. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, this is related to what you were just talking about. Since you brought up the presidential race, I was wondering the ads that Romney is running currently that make assertions about GM and Chrysler that are lies. How is this legal for these ads to be airing? And do you know, how this can happen? And I'll get off and listen to you. Thank you.
All right, great.
It's not a matter of being legal. It's a matter of the opposite campaign going to the networks and saying, this is false. And then they're supposed to pull them off. Now, they have worlds of gray area, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I just heard about it yesterday to do with Chrysler and sending jobs overseas. Mm-hmm. So it was refuted. Mm-hmm. I don't know if those ads have been pulled. They're supposed to, but it's not illegal.
However, it is incumbent upon us to do our own fact checking.
Okay, and we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank both of you for joining us today, Laurie, Sam. Laurie Banks, of course, president of Perry & Banks Integrated Sales and Marketing, Sam Surprise. Love Surprise Advertising. Thanks again.
Thank you. This was, as they say, wicked fun.
Today's program was produced by Jonathan Smith. Lindsay Maynard ran the board. We had help from the MPBN web team. Starting off next week, Tuesday, behind the scenes at a nonprofit dedicated to empowering local media around the world. I'm Erwin Gratz. You've been listening to Maine Calling here on MPBN. Have a great afternoon.